Translation. Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In response, please. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Vasudev is the goal of goal of life. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. This is the instruction of all the Vedic literature. Vaidyasta Sarve Aham Eva Vedyaha Sarva Dharmam Parichaya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. This is not... There is no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualifications. In the material world, good and bad have no meaning, because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system, and if one is bad, he may be degraded to the lower planetary system. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded. Well, this is not the goal of life. Rather, the goal of life is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad. Rather, he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. Om Ganti Mirandasya Gananjina Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatya Deshatarine. So, this is the carry on the story of the Avadhut Brahman, the behaviour of a perfect person. So this was Prabhupada's mission, to make everybody into a perfect person. Human life is meant for elevation to perfection. Perfection means to engage in our constitutional position. So in the material world, everybody's engaging in their non-constitutional position, due to misidentification. So this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahman is speaking to Prahlad Maharaj, who's asking him pertinent questions, and he's explaining how he's seeing the world in a different way to most people. So what does the Bhagavad Gita say about that? The Bhagavad Gita tells in the second chapter that what is the one who's transcendentally situated? Immediately, if we read these verses, we can understand whether we are transcendentally situated by our activities. Means, how does he speak? What is his language? Prabhupada immediately says, what does he speak about? He speaks about Krishna. And what is his language? It means he doesn't become angry. So immediately, if we feel anger, it means that we're not transcendentally situated. It means there's something bugging us. What's that? It's usually some attachment. So a transcendentally situated person is like this Avadhut Brahman. He's not attached to anything. He's seeing good and bad as equal. We see good and bad as relevant to us, whether it'll make me satisfied or whether it'll actually make me unhappy. And then the next portion is the... what's the next one? How does he sit? How does he sit? So, it's like a tortoise, Prabhupada explains, that a tortoise is... There may be so many allurements come, but he remains in his position and he withdraws his senses from those allurements. He's able to discriminate. He has that power. So, a transcendentally situated person, he analyses the situation and discriminates. And then finally, how does he walk? How does he conduct himself in this world? It's similar to sitting, but he's on the move. How does he work his way through the world with the different things that actually he comes up against? Prabhupada said it's like when he's transcendentally situated, he sees pebbles as gold and the same value. One person asked Prabhupada that question, how is it possible to see pebbles and gold as the same? And Prabhupada said, oh, this is a very elevated platform. So Prabhupada deals with it in a different way in this purport. He explains that he doesn't become attracted to other philosophies. They're like no better than pebbles to him. But he's only attracted to this Krishna conscious philosophy, which is what this Brahman is actually experiencing in practice. He's on the spiritual platform. So therefore he's not attracted to the good and bad of this material world. And so this is our goal, is to Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochite na kankshate samak sarvishu bhutishu mad bhakte labhate param. That one who's transcendentally situated is not, he doesn't hanker or lament. Why do we hanker or lament? Does anybody hanker or lament in this classroom? Nobody, I knew it. Yeah, we know everybody hankers and laments because we're still tendency after many births in this material world to be materially materially pushed, and the inertia's there. So right at the beginning, Rishabhadev says to his 100 sons, he's giving them transcendental knowledge, that naham deho deha bhajam riloke kastam karmam harate vivid bhujamte. Nayam deho deho bhajam riloke kastam karmam tapo divyam putrake yena sattvam sudyat yasmat karma shokyam tunantam. So his sons, they're taking direct direction from Rishabhadev, and he's saying, don't become attracted to the good and bad of this material world, the happiness and distress. Because actually we've experienced that birth after birth after birth. He says, now it's time to have a change, control the senses. Human life's meant for austerity, for tapasya, for controlling our senses so that we can fix them on the goal. He says, so by controlling the senses, one can experience a higher happiness and one can achieve the platform of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. And when one experiences that, one reaches that platform, then that happiness is not transient like this material world, but it lasts forever. So this is the higher taste what we're looking for. This little bit of Krishna consciousness we experience every so often, in the beginning, very strongly. Maybe after some time we become a little bit, lose our way a little bit in the interim period. In the beginning, Krishna's giving us plenty of inspiration and plenty of taste just to initially get our, to kickstart. I heard one devotee say it's like to kickstart. So like that. But once we get going, we have to start to become more conscious about how to practice devotional service. So there's one or two things I've thought we'd talk about. One thing is that what's the obstacles to devotional service? When we become when we see on the platform of good and bad, we differentiate in this world. Three things occur which lead to our being diverted from any auspicious path. That's lust, anger and greed. When we meditate on trying to find happiness, then sooner or later material world means we won't get it. We'll get it for some time and then we'll lose it. So then we'll do two things. We'll either try harder, which is greed, or we'll just throw the towel in and become angry. So these things take away our spiritual impetus. Just like when the Kali Yuga started, these qualities became very much manifested. And straight away, Maharaj Parikshit cornered the Kali personified. And Kali personified knew he was finished. And so when he was about to kill him, he begged for mercy. He said, I take shelter, I surrender unto you. And so Parikshit Maharaj said, okay. I said, but you have to give me somewhere to live. He says, okay, where there's no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, or no intoxication. Then this is pure life. If you find these places in my kingdom, you can live there. And then Kali was intelligent and says, there's no places in your kingdom. You're such a powerful king. He says, I'm one of your subjects. You must find somewhere. He said, okay, gold. You can live in gold. And so this is the present situation, isn't it? Everything we analyze. Look at the buildings that they're building now. They're up and about 10 years later, or 30 years at the most, they're down. And they're just boxes. Why is that? Gold. Look at the buildings they built 200 years ago. They're still there, aren't they? Immaculate. A lot of nice artistry in them, like churches especially. It's because people are they're no longer focusing on the goal of life. The present situation, everybody's focusing on what I can get out of this. So the quality of everything goes down. This verse is talking about a Brahman, one who has brahminical vision. What's a brahminical vision? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. He doesn't become attracted to the world, he's on the spiritual platform. And so when Kali came and asked for a place to stay in Gaul, then the brahminical culture started to become lost. And then the head of society is lost, there's no guidance. Gobramanya Hitayacha, also the cow became misused. I don't know how I told you this, but even the milk now, I keep bringing this point up about the milk, it's really, you know, it says, what's that verse? Shakamulamisha Shodra Kalapushpashti Bhojana Anavriksha Vinangshantis Durbiksha Karapidita. He says, in this age of Kali, in the 12th canto, people resort to eating shaka, leaves, mula, roots, amisha, meat, shodra, wild honey, pala, flowers, pushpasti, seeds, and the bhojana, this will be their food. It doesn't mention milk. But that's the situation now. You go in the supermarket, what do you see when you look on the carton of milk, pasteurized and homogenized. And this homogenized means that it's actually been completely, well, what they do, they break the milk down and then they take the whey out of it. Remember, this Kali is in gold, they're looking for money. And then they sell the whey and then they put the milk back together. This is the homogenized, it's put back together again. And then they flog that at the same price. So they're making twice as much out of it. And so what we drink, and then when the milk goes off after about 3 weeks, you know, milk should last about a day, maybe two at the very most. Then it was like plastic. If you ever leave it for a while, leave a bit of milk and, you know, leave it somewhere warm for a few days, and you just get a coating of plastic. So that everybody thinks they're getting some milk. They're not getting milk. There's one or two places in the supermarket you can see the cream on the top. So they say 3 days, it lasts about 3 days, 4 days. That's actually milk. So we can see how already the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is true. In England, there's very little milk. And it's, it says the leaders will become like dacoits. They'll just fleece the people. And they'll run to the hills and the forests to get out of the way. They'll be so badly taxed. Anyway, coming back to the point, is this brahminical culture is meant to educate society so that society are aware of what's going off. They're not aware of what's going off. And when people are aware, when the general populace understand this, how they're being deceived, then these leaders, they have to acquiesce. When the general mass of people really want something, in order to stay in power, they have to give them what they want. So this is the value of education. This is a ecumenical movement. It's not that we're just distributing a book, somebody's reading it and maybe becoming Krishna conscious. When this philosophy gets into society, it'll change the whole world culturally, very quickly, when people become aware. So what is the, duties of... Prabhupada wants a ecumenical movement. Is that right? He said we should be a movement of Brahmins. So what's our chief duty as Brahmins? Yeah, Patan, Parthan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana, Pratigraha. So generally we think about Brahman as being, you know, worshipping the deity, just going on the altar. But actually, four of the six things are directly related to spreading knowledge to society. Patan, Parthan means studying and giving it. Yajan, Yajan means worshipping the deity. Dana, Pratigraha, which receive charity. And then we give charity in the form of spiritual education. So it means teacher, the preacher. This is our main duty. And then society can be changed. Otherwise, who's going to be interested if we go out there and say, would anybody like to have become a pujari? Nobody. But when we educate them, then people will take to Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so... Next point is, what's the obstacles? It's mentioned in the Madhuri Kadambini. Why is it, why do we find it difficult to come to this brahminical platform? It explains about the four things, actually. I've got the Madhuri Kadambini here, actually. Right here, just a minute. Kleshas, they call. We're performing... What is it? Bhajana Kriya. We're in the platform of Bhajana Kriya, practicing devotional life. First, there's a little faith. Little faith. This means, let me hear about this process. Let me associate with those who are practicing. Let me read about this process of Krishna consciousness. And so we are trying to attract people by this brahminical movement from all classes of life. Then when they hear a little bit in the association of devotees, then they may get a little bit of faith. And then they may start to take up the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of devotional service. But most people don't find it so easy. It's sometimes a struggle. So this is the point, is that just like this Brahman, he's seen... good and bad. He's not seeing good and bad, sorry. He's seeing everything in relation to Krishna. And most people, even devotees, we're seeing things separated from Krishna. And this is where the problem lies. So what are the symptoms of seeing separated from Krishna? I'll read from the Madhuri Kadambini. So when we're performing Bhajana Kriya, there are five kleshas which prevent us from having this spiritual vision and having this material vision. One is called... avidya, ignorance. We see everything the wrong way around. We see everything, this is ignorance. Passion means we see things the right way around to some degree, but we use it for our own personal endeavour. But we see, you know, we see spiritual life as being, like Karl Marx was it, the opiate of the people. Actually, material civilization is the opiate of the people. We see rising early in the morning as a bad thing. But rising early in the morning is a good thing. In other words, we see all the spiritual qualities as being inferior to the material qualities. So this is due to material vision. Ignorance. What's next one? Asmita. False ego. Does anybody suffer from false ego? False ego. So then with false ego, we just try to use everything for our immediate sense gratification. Everything's meant for my pleasure. I, me, mine, this body. He says the basic principle of material life based around this false ego is attraction between male and female. We see, which is the biggest industry in the world? One of the biggest. Cosmetics, isn't it? Anybody? Oh. Yeah, same thing. It's a derivative, isn't it? So how do we overcome this? Anyway, raga, attachment, desire for material happiness, desire to enjoy material things, and desire to decrease our material suffering. Does anybody get that experience? We're always trying to do that, aren't we? Make things easy. But I see in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it explains that a devotee doesn't try to enjoy this world. And he doesn't try to get out of it either. He doesn't struggle, in other words. Should we try and get out of this world? Yeah, we should try and get out of it. But what does he mean, Prabhupada? He's saying that we don't try to avoid the suffering. Obviously, we don't look for it, but it's going to come. We should rest assured that it's going to come. If we get rid of one thing, the next they're lining up, waiting. All different difficulties. So a devotee should expect obstacles, difficulty. But at the same time, carry on with devotional service. This is a saving grace that a materialist, they just go mad. So much suffering. They don't know how to, they try to fend it off by becoming more absorbed in material life. But then what is it? More lust makes the fire bigger. The fire of burns in the heart even more bigger. But the devotee has the option of remembering Krishna, engaging in devotional service. And then when we engage in devotional service, remember Krishna, then the whole thing changes, the whole direction changes. We see the goal in life again. We see why we're doing this. This suffering is a temporary thing. This is the next one, actually. Dvesha, hatred. Hatred of those things which cause unhappiness, or an aversion to unhappiness. Same thing, more or less. So Prahlad Maharaj, who this Brahmin is speaking to, Prahlad Maharaj spoke to his school friends. He said, Sukham Endriya Kamdecha Deho Yogina Dehna Savatra Labite Daiva Tatadyanta Ayatnatakam. I think. He says that, my dear boys, the happiness you perceive by contact with the senses, with the sense objects, is perceived in every walk of life. Happiness and distress is going to come. This is another thing we should understand, that we have to actually accept our karma and at the same time carry on devotional service. And in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says if we maintain that attitude, then devotional service becomes our rightful claim. What's that verse? Tatenun kampam susamikshamano. In other words, we don't blame Krishna, we don't blame others. We just accept a situation and carry on performing devotional service to the best of our ability. And last one is abhinivesha. Instinctively, and being attached to bodily enjoyment and fear that death will take away all of our material enjoyment. So once again we're on the material platform. So first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is that, what's the first instruction? I mentioned this. Tolerate, yeah. Well, actually, there are things which come before that. Well, that's the first thing he tells Arjuna to do, isn't it? And Prabhupada said that anyway. He gave that instruction. The first thing is tolerate. Because if we don't tolerate, we can't get anywhere. So we have to tolerate these things and carry on with devotional service. You know, if we spend too much time trying to get rid of difficulty, we'll just get caught up in that and we just lose our bearing in Krishna consciousness. And at some point, we realize that when we try to focus on Krishna, we do get a higher taste also. so tolerate. So what stage are we at in devotional service? We're going through these difficulties, but there's different stages also. In the beginning, a devotee goes through, what do they call that? Let's have a look. Anatta-nivritti. I was thinking of something different, actually. Oh, here we are. Utsamayi. Utsamayi. Has anybody had that experience? We come to devotional service. Yes, we can do so much. And we're actually the bee's knees. We can do everything. But it's short-lived. Eventually, you know, after we've had the initial inspiration, we think we're, you know, doing everything very nicely. We start to come down to the correct platform. So utsamayi means false or getting puffed up. So this is good for us in the beginning. At least we feel that we're making progress. But now we have to get down to the hard work. So then it comes to the next progress, which is called ganatadala. What's that mean? It means sometimes we're enthusiastic and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're enthusiastic, sometimes we're not. Up and down all the time. Anybody experience that? Viuda kalpa. This means indecision. Oh, what to do? Shall I get married? Or shall I stay brahmachari? So anyway, there's a whole section on this. It's quite a complicated thing. So then Vishaya Sangar, unable to give up sense gratification. So it says that in the 11th canto that this can be very debilitating for a devotee when, you know, sense gratification is always pulling him away from devotional service. At some point, think, oh, forget it, I can't do it. Maybe it happens to a lot of devotees. But Krishna gives us encouragement in the 11th canto. He says that we should understand that this sense of gratification, although we're attached to it, we should understand it for what it is, although we can't control the senses. And we should understand that we're going to suffer by being in that frame of mind. But one should remain happy in practicing the devotional activities. Amazing, isn't it? Even though there's... So this is it's a very instructive, actually. It's actually the mind which makes us unhappy, our vision of the situation. And Krishna's telling us, don't see it like that. See that you're practicing devotional service, and just by carrying on practicing with enthusiasm, all problems will be alleviated in due course of time. And then next one is Niyam Akshana, unable to keep vows. So sometimes from today on, 32 rounds. Or from today on, you know. But this is not the way, is it? Usually when we make a vow, it's, don't make vows. It's hard enough to keep the basic vows. You know, when we really, if we're following something, we're starting to increase on something, we've done it for quite a long time, and we know we can maintain it, then we can say, okay, let me make this a vow. It should be a gradual thing. Just to keep the vows we're supposed to do properly is actually an endeavour. And then Taranga Ranjini, riding the waves of success. Eventually we may get a little bit of recognition, and then we've been around for a while, and we become what they call not a celebrity. That's later. We become recognized. This is a senior devotee. And so then we start to relate to that. We're relating to the body again. So anyway, the main point here that Prabhupada is saying in this verse is that one who's actually got or an inkling towards spiritual vision, he doesn't see the good and bad so much of this material world. And he tries to alleviate people's difficult situation. As much as he's actually made some advancement, he tries to give it to others. This is a Brahman. And bring them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So anyway, we can stop there. It's a few minutes to go. Does anybody have any questions or any comments?